Hello and welcome back to the Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast, brought to you by Park Multimedia. The Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast is a series that brings in local entrepreneurs, council leaders, young professionals, and students that are leaving their mark on Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Dan Kimbrough.
Okay. Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? We need to get this energy up. It's the end of the day. We're almost done. So my name is Jacqueline Escobar, Jackie. I am a small business consultant and marketing specialist at the Wilkes University Small Business Development Center. So quick show of hands, is anybody familiar with the Wilkes SBDC? Okay, one, three, four. All right, so for those of you who aren't, we are the Wilkes University Small Business Development Center. We essentially help small business entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and existing small business owners kind of grow and start their business. So we help with a wide variety of different training events and different assistance that we do offer. So that can be from pre-venture, like the pre-planning stage, to growing your business, right? In terms of digital marketing, SEO strategy, financing capital, things like that, okay? To give you a little bit more about us, we are one of 15 centers here in the state of Pennsylvania. So we are attached to a host institution and we are accredited by America's SBDC. So a little fun fact, every state does have an SBDC. We are a free and confidential service, so once you do become a client with us, we work on your timeline. So we take your project, whatever that be, from a minor small business question, right? Like, how do I set up my Google profile? Or to long-term engagements, such as writing a business plan and coming up, like going through the strategy of your business model, marketing plans, things like that, okay? It's very hard to kind of go through specifics that we do because we do work one-on-one with the client. Work on your timeline, like I said, and all of our services are free and confidential. So that's a little bit about us.
All right. My name is Dan Kimbrough. I'm the owner of Park Multimedia, and I also own Dan Kimbrough LLC, which I'll get to in a little bit. I just had this fun question earlier about what it is that I do. I do a lot of different things under the guise of Park Multimedia and my LLC. Park Multimedia originally started out 2007? Yeah, I'm that old. The idea was that I wanted to create media. I've been working for people the bulk of my life. I taught for a couple years, but media has always been what I wanted to do. But majority of the people that I was working for were all doing it wrong, in my opinion. And so rather than tell them they were doing it wrong, I just decided to start my own company. And so that was sort of the onus for Park, was that I was working for a lot of people who were making a lot of money off of me for my skills. And I just figured I could probably take a bigger cut of it if I ran my own business. That's legitimately why I started a business. And so having SBDC here, I'm sort of the opposite. I still don't have a business plan. I have never even thought about writing one. I don't have any investors. I have mentors now that are from friends, but like a lot of this was just, I wanted to start a business and I wanted to make money and I didn't want to work for other people. And so that was sort of the onus of how Park got started. Since then it's grown. I still don't have a business plan, sadly. But the things that you learn from having a business plan, because I have met with SBDC, I do know that I need to research the market when new companies come on board and things of that nature, looking down that pipeline. And so I'm sort of here to say that you, SBDC, if you can start there, please do. But that doesn't have to be where you always start when it comes to starting a business. If you've got an idea, feel free to fail sometimes and just go out and do it. I got a DBA in 2007, which allowed me to get a debit card and open a bank account for a business. And that was where Park Multimedia started in 2007. And so the idea that, you know, there's a right way to do business isn't really that true, like it's your way. There are plenty of wrong ways, don't get me wrong. But you need to sort of find your own way when it comes to business and building connections throughout the community. And so that's sort of what I want to bring today in the idea of entrepreneurship and barriers. There were a lot of barriers that I sort of created on my own because I didn't have the help of organizations and other individuals. But I also overcame a lot of those barriers and learned a lot about the business community and business world. And also, I started my business in Michigan, so I had to relearn business rules because I switched states. and didn't tell the IRS and got in trouble for that. And so I learned a lot of things along the way that as I'm working with youth now or working in classrooms and teaching and things, when I talk about business, I have a very different viewpoint because I've made a lot of those mistakes, and so I can help people through a lot. But also, you may not also need to wait for this to be in place before you to do the next thing. You can start doing things now and sort of get caught up in the long run. So, but we want to turn it and sort of see who's in the room as well. And so hear from any business owners and sort of even hear from everyone, but also what are you hoping to learn and sort of get out of this presentation today? So we want to sort of turn it on to the audience, and we stole this from earlier, but what would you like to hear? And there's a mic. I can bring you one because I'm also running tech. Nope. Is it on? There you go. There we go. And I gave you a dead mic, didn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Hello. So I was wondering what some barriers that you did not see coming. So some of the barriers that you met along the way, now when you're starting a business, I think there are some obvious barriers. What were some barriers that you didn't see coming, and how did you get over them?
I'm going to go.
You go.
I think the biggest barrier that I came into, it's a media production company, so for me, equipment was the biggest issue. In working in media, things have gotten cheaper over time, and so you can afford more, but cheaper doesn't always mean better. But when I first started, I literally was borrowing a friend of mine's laptop to edit on and paying to rent a camera from another friend. Both of these were literally former employers that I was like, I'm no longer going to work for you, but can I borrow your equipment still to be able to go out and do things? And that, to me, the economics of working in media from 2007 through now, while that has changed, that was a humongous barrier. And while I had studied media and done all these things, I didn't have the financial capital really to sort of start a business. And so I ran into that as one of the big barriers. And then for me, going back and thinking about 2007, the internet's just now starting up, another barrier was putting my face on the internet because I didn't want just black-owned businesses to be using a company. And where I was at in Michigan, I got a lot of flack sometimes because people would call and they'd set up to meet with me and I'd walk in a room and they hadn't been to the website, didn't realize I was a black guy. So there was a stretch there where my face wasn't even on my website so that I wasn't losing business due to race and things that I wasn't sort of thinking about. And so as confidence built over time, I no longer cared. If you didn't want to work with me because I was black, I don't want your money. And so I learned that over time, but it was just little things like that, that in starting the business, just small things like, do I have enough money? Is the website professional enough? Also, am I going after the right audience? And do I want my face out? Like just these little things of how do you present and sort of appear to people? And again, like having other people's equipment, some of my friends had their company's logos on it. And so I'm putting gaff tape over logos so people still think it's my company because it is me, I'm just borrowing the equipment. And so for me, it was just being as scrappy as I could early on. If I didn't have something, how can I get it and work with it and sort of move through those things? When I moved to Pennsylvania, it was easy to sort of restart a lot of those things. And so when I moved here, my face goes back on the website immediately. I've made enough money at that point that I was able to buy my own equipment, so I was no longer paying and to borrow it from other people and bring those things in. And once I got here, it was relaunching a business in a new area. And so it existed and I had the IP and I've got a website and all these things. All of my material was from Michigan though. And one thing I will give Pennsylvania is very much, they love Pennsylvanians, they want to hire within the state. NEPA is exactly the same way. And so I have an out-of-state phone number and all of my images and everything are of a different state. So it took me about 2 years to get people to think that I was local and want to hire me as a Pennsylvania-based business to come out and do things, which now that I've been here for a while, I have the pride behind it. And I'm very proud that that happened. Being new, I hated it. And so, but those are some of the early barriers that I had.
And just to tag on to that, definitely I think access to capital for a lot of entrepreneurs is a barrier. The financial literacy that comes part of that, right? So the 5 C's, your credit score, that is a big impact when it comes to financing. Also another barrier could be poor planning, right? So the market research, you might think you might have a great business model, great product or service, right? And you need a location right away, and you think this is a great location, but you don't do the market research behind it, like the demographics of it. again, that might not fit the need of that. I've gone through a lot of clients of my own that do that, you know? Like we talked about in the previous session about risk. Entrepreneurs like to do that and think real quick with, okay, this is an opportunity, I need to jump on it. But also, this is where we come in, kind of the pre-planning stage of it, right? Having that business plan, does it fit within my strategy? Does it fit within my model? So things like that. Your marketing plan as well. Also, the social capital of it too. So not finding the right people to hire. That could be a barrier as well. So yeah, I think, any other questions? I think.
Deanne, this is for you. Back in 2007, that was the time when social media wasn't really big yet. And for me, personal experience, my brother owned a web design marketing company in affiliate marketing. So I've done sales marketing for web design back in the early 2000s. And it was crucial to have a good website online and market it the right way with SEO to get your business out there. And when you first started, what was it like to get customers? More door-to-door hit the pavement, or was it more of a word of mouth?
I cheated. I worked in weddings, and so I had a built-in market. But that was specifically why I started there, because I was a full-blown media production company. I was doing websites and photography. I was doing way too much as a one-person organization, but wanted to offer as much as I could, so I was willing to do anything. My first website I had probably through 2013, but the notion of I studied SEO very early on. I studied making sure your website's easy to navigate and that you're within three clicks, anyone coming to your website could get to what they wanted. And so, but it was just a demo reel site. And in that vein though, the SEO is what helped me out is that I still show up in searches in Michigan for videographers. And I haven't lived there since 2008. And so, like I really dug in, and like every organization that was listing a videographer for any function, I was there. I was in Lansing, Michigan, and so I got on a vendor list for the conference center that they had in town and almost every hotel that was in town. So if you asked the venue, who would you suggest? At that point, very few videographers had done that legwork. So for a while, I was the only name that anyone knew only because I had done the legwork of saying, hey, if someone's coming in, you should hire, you know, give them a name, therefore they don't have to worry about it. And I would tell everyone, and if they mention that, you know, the venue is the reason, I'll give a 20% discount. You know, and so it incentivizes them to make sure that I was the one there. But then those relationships, I didn't have to worry about even incentivizing anymore, because if I was the videographer, the venue knew they didn't need to worry about me. I knew where I could go, where I couldn't go. I had done all those things. And so in weddings, that was where that started. And then a lot of it was word of mouth. I would tell everyone, you know, if I was at a wedding, I also do these other things. And so it just grew word of mouth at that point. But it was also nice because we were very early on that if you were web savvy enough, I'm the only one that shows up. And then word of mouth is where I grew the rest of the business. So.
Hello, good afternoon, Dan. It's great to see you. Jacqueline, thanks so much. So question for both of you. Speaking about, you know, word of mouth and LinkedIn, we're just touching on this. Even now, present day 2023, I feel like some small business owners that I know find that they struggle to make ground here in northeastern Pennsylvania, even though if they go outside the area, they tend to track better. They feel like business is flowing if they're in a major city or even in some rural communities 45 minutes an hour away. Can both of you speak to maybe some challenges that might be unique to maybe building relationships and connections to thrive in northeastern Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I can try to answer it. I think one of the challenges is a lot of individuals don't know about the resources that are available. So I know for us, our non-official slogan is the best kept secret, because a lot of people do not know about our center. We are a business resource for you, right? So like places like this, like the chamber and these conferences and things like that, you have to kind of network yourself to be aware of those resources that are available to you. So partnering with like Ben Franklin, with our regional partners, things like that kind of can get you in the door to kind of make sense to, okay, what challenges or what barriers am I gonna have starting a business here in Northeastern Pennsylvania? I hope that answered that a little.
It's a great question. I think that NEPA, specifically thinking about NEPA, is very unique in that if people in NEPA find something they like, they will stick with it. We did actually, that she just left the area, not because of business, but her husband had to move, but small batch. Bakery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The funniest thing with her, she opened a bakery here in Luzerne Bank Building, moves to Exeter, and she moves into the place where the old Royal Bakery is. And for 3 weeks, she kept getting people complaining that she didn't sell nut rolls. How could you be a bakery who doesn't sell nut rolls? You realize that not all bakeries sell nut rolls, but in NEPA, if you have a bakery, you sell nut rolls. So she had to adapt and create, she called it a California nut roll, yes. So it was her version on it. But that was the thing, is you're a bakery, you sell nut rolls. And so in NEPA, that has been one of the hardest things, is that people expect certain things from businesses, and the relationship has to be built before you can break those sort of expectations. And so I do not like networking. I hate it with a passion. But in NEPA, it's forced me to become a networker and figure out my own way to do it. And so it's really about relationships here. I was joking with Nino earlier, like the first time that I ever recorded a podcast in a live setting was at the Wilkes-Barre Connect Conference 5 years ago. And to think about, well, not five, 4 years ago. So think about 2019, I had barely a fledgling podcast that was sort of going and working with the chamber, and I've got 9 podcasts that I'm doing now. This is the second time, I think, in 2 weeks that we've recorded a podcast through the chamber, but it's all relationship building. Like, I have not advertised that I would do this, but it was the relationships over time. And so while it is sometimes very hard to get into a business in NEPA to get into the community and do these things, if you're willing to do the legwork and you can sort of make one crack, find one person who's willing to work with you and will vouch for you, it becomes a landslide effect. And so, yes, the barriers are there. I will not lie and say they aren't. But as a business owner who has struggled here and then found my people and have been able to grow and do those things, I think that's sort of that answer, is it's the people. But I think also figuring out what communities need. Like, I'm a multimedia production company, and I'll never say that I'm not multimedia, because not everyone needs everything all at once. And so there are companies that I work with that all they need me to do on the back end is make graphics and give them to them. I don't need to post them, I don't need to schedule them, I don't need anything else, just give me that. All right, I can do that for you if that's all you want, and we'll adjust that price. There are some companies that need me to do everything. And you can't be a one-size-fits-all company in NEPA, and I think that's hard for a lot of startups and businesses when you're thinking about capital and how do we plan for the next year and forecasting. I don't think you can do that. Almost every client I have has different needs. I keep them because I'm willing to sit with them and work on those needs, and I don't think every community is like that, in that you have to really sort of know your clients and know the business, but you get better relationships out of it. So it really is worth it in the long run. Hope that answers your question.
So I'm going to steal a question real quick. You mentioned, you know, the importance of networking, but here, specifically in Northeastern Pennsylvania, how might it be tough just to network for business owners from diverse backgrounds? Obviously, language could be an issue. Could both of you maybe talk a bit more about some of the challenges with that?
Yeah, go ahead. I can speak on the other end.
I won't lie to you, to be frankly honest, one of the reasons I hate networking in NEPA is that I'm usually the only black guy in the room, hands down. Like, I look at photos, I won't name any names, but I'll look at photos after some networking events, and I will literally scroll through to see, yep, if I showed up, I'd have been the only dark face there. Hands down, it is an issue. The one answer people always give, well, if you show up though, then there's, I don't want to be the only one, I'm tired of being a token. I've been a token a long time in my life. But there are a lot of groups, smaller groups of individuals that you can sort of get to know and work with, that some of the networking events that I've gone to, I've gone as a guest of other individuals. So I've made friends in other areas and work with the things that way. I'll also argue that the Chamber does a really good job, and yes, I'm here on behalf of the Chamber, but Chamber does a really good job at working at DEI and diversity. And so that often, those were the events that I would go to, that there were diverse businesses, there were diverse individuals, there were diverse mindsets, And that was where I fostered a lot of it, so that when I did end up going to other networking events, I knew someone at least. Like, I had made a relationship with someone. I still may have been the only black face in the room, but I had a connection with someone. So it took the intermediary step of finding my people, finding my network of individuals. Again, the Chamber's been great. I love working with leadership. That's another organization that's been great for me as well, as sort of breaking those barriers. But it's tough. It is really, really tough. And luckily, the demographics of the region are changing. And so there are a lot of networking groups that you might be the only white face in the room if you were to show up in them, which I think is valuable. You should. You'll learn a lot, I promise. The food is going to be great, too. But I think that's the other flip of that, is that we need to also go that other side. I have a whole thing on integration and how that went wrong. But yes, I should be coming out to more sort of mainstream networking events. But I would also argue that our black and brown population has tons of networking and social events that are happening. Businesses need to be going to those as well. Like, mainstream businesses need to go there as well, because they are customers, but B, they are members of your community who may need your services, or just you may find out that this is a cool community to be a part of. But I think that is a visual barrier that is hard as a person of color to want to be the person to crack that barrier. And as someone who works in DEI, I crack the barrier all the time, and there are still days that I'm just wiped out and I'm like, I'm not going, because I know who's going to be in that room, and I don't want to deal with that today. So, yeah.
On the other end, as a business resource, it's similar situation. I know I'm bilingual, I speak Spanish. So since coming on, I have made sure that all of our marketing material and resources that we do have come in a Spanish language. Just because we have seen an increased population in specifically that minority group of starting a business. So we are trying to fit those needs. And it is just based on relationships and the network that you do. So even just me, I came on the Wilkes SBDC in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic. So all of my requirements were all of the federal funding information and grant programs and all of that. So we made sure that, and we noticed that a lot of those minority groups didn't have the same financial literacy, or they didn't understand the applications that were, the terminology that was going through to apply for these grants. And a lot of individuals missed out on funding opportunities because of that. So we kind of regrouped and said, what do we need to do to make sure that we're reaching those people? So on our end, we are doing everything that we can, partnering with the Chamber, partnering with our regional partners, to making sure that each demographical group has someone they feel comfortable with in our center to have a conversation and to feel supported, you know, to make sure that, oh yes, I have this dream of starting a business. Yes, there's someone in there, or there's materials that fit my primary language, right? And that's just one example, and we can talk more about this, but that's on our end.
I actually would add a follow-up to that as well. I think that going with that as well, the notion, I forgot it, it's gone again. Never mind, forget it. I'll come back later.
It's gone.
Do you think that networking or actual formal advertising would be more beneficial to new business owners? And how such, what is the best way for someone young or new to business to meet potential clients and network?
Yeah. So how new in business? Are you just like a business owner? Like, you started a business, or are you looking into getting into it?
So I have like a small graphic design business currently. Like, I just do work for like local small businesses, but the only way I've been able to like network is through word of mouth from other small businesses.
Mm-hmm. So go, I think that's more you.
I'm on the board for American Advertising Federation. You should join. There's your first answer. I think professional networks legitimately is one of them. Find whatever professional networks, whatever it is that you do. If you're young and starting out, I will tell you, I sit on a lot of boards. Young, fresh ideas are what most boards want. Even if you don't make it to the board, join the membership of the organization. A, you'll network. B, the amount of competition people think exists between most industries isn't actually there. I love Cole Creative. On paper, we should never work together. I love Cole Creative. I love partnering with them whenever I can. We should be enemies. It's not the case in this region. Again, I sit on the board for American Advertising Federation. There are three other videographers and multimedia production companies. We work together all the time. And so finding your professional organizations is a big one. Unfortunately, I would argue, as someone who works in advertising, advertising is the last thing you need to be worried about. Build up your social media, make those connections, and network. Like, you may meet someone today and you let them know that you do graphic design, and it could be 6 months before they ever bring it back up to you, but they know that you do it and you're top of mind to them. But you've built a relationship. And this goes for any business in general. Like I always tell, from a DEI aspect, I always tell businesses it's not about the sale, it's about the relationship. If you can't build a relationship with someone, you can't get their money. End of day. And even if you do, it won't be repeat business, and then you need to look at what your business model is. Is it sustainability or is it the short term, I just want the dollar right now? And so it's building those relationships. I don't call it networking because in my brain I don't like networking, but it is just building relationships, having conversations, genuinely getting to know the community that you work in. And again, you may find that your style of graphic design may be the hindrance as well. They may need something else. Well, if you can adapt, still do your main thing, but figure this out and see where you can, you know, help out that way. Another big one in this region is work with some nonprofits. And that doesn't mean work for free. It just means work with nonprofits, because you'd be amazed at how often, if you're willing to discount a price, you can help a nonprofit reach a goal that for them is almost impossible. Because depending on what they do, they know they need to market, but they probably don't have a graphic designer on staff. No offense, Nino.
Let me jump in before I forget.
Yeah, right.
So, and also, jumping in on that, building your portfolio too, you know? So working with those, and even if, I tell all my clients too, when you're just like kind of starting off, look at your competitors, look at businesses that you're interested in, right? And see what you can do. You're a graphic designer, you're creative. Take a look at their website, take a look at their social, look at what they're doing with their print marketing, something like that, and kind of just put together mocks. And then you can go into the business, right, one-on-one and be like, hey, I was just taking a look at your website and I think that you could do a couple of changes to streamline something better, right? That could just be your foot in the door and making connections. Drop off your business card or your contact info, and then that's there. Who, like Dan said, right now they might not need someone, but six months from now, they'll probably, oh, hey, there was Jack that was there that came in. Let me just give him a call, or let me take a look at their website or social media. Does it fit in the needs that I need? So things like that, right? That could be another idea as well.
Hello. So both Dan and Jackie both kind of touched on some of this, but I'd be remiss to not ask you guys to elaborate a little bit more on some of the things that we partner with each of your organizations on at the Chamber. Obviously, diversity comes in all shapes and sizes. You know, it's beyond just your race. You know, there's things that we do for the veteran population, for women entrepreneurs, and for the Spanish-speaking population. So can you maybe elaborate a little bit more on what we do with each of your organizations to kind of help each of those populations?
Yeah, so we work collaboratively with the Chamber. This past year and the past couple years, two programs, the Spark Rental Assistance Grant Program and the Connect, Connect Inclusive, right? Oh, forgot the name there. So essentially it's a program for financial literacy and Small Business 101. So we kind of put together training events, short training events, because we know every entrepreneur doesn't have the time or energy to watch two-hour videos. So they're just real snapshot training events to help you kind of move forward if you're in the pre-planning stage, and then kind of connect with you one-on-one. You get assigned a business consultant, and we work one-on-one with you in terms of business plan, creation, financial projections, based on historical data or just like startup expenses. And then we kind of go through that process. So we also have partners with NEPA Alliance in terms of the government contracting, minority, like the certification for the minority-owned business. And then also, I know I'm missing one other thing. I said government contracting and veteran. So veteran minority groups, we also help with that, working with, is it Votech? No,
yeah.
You're right. In their programs, so initially we have a business plan template that we give out to clients and we kind of just plug and play from there. Yeah.
That's a fun question.
I know.
So from a DEI aspect, I sit on the chair of the DEI Council for the Chamber. And so one of the things that we've been doing is actually a lot of what Jackie just talked about. An example of a recent event that we did was educating the community on getting your minority-owned business certifications. And so helped put together a panel that actually came in a whole day where we walked through that process of what it looks like to actually get it, why it's important if you're minority-owned businesses, what are some of the perks and those things. And then at the end of that day, who's the apex? You just said him. NEPA Alliance was actually here where you could schedule an appointment as a minority-owned business and go meet with them and go through that process. And so so from the DEI aspect, it's working with the Chamber and specifically Wilkes-Barre Connected and Wilkes-Barre Inclusive on how do we uplift our minority-owned businesses. But the flip side of that is also how do we make sure that the majority-owned businesses that are in the community are doing all they can from a DEI aspect as well. And really recognizing, again, DEI is so much more than meetings and representation numbers and blah, 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 blah. I could go on a whole spiel. I do. Professionally. But you know, the idea that making sure people realize that DEI is about everyone, and that if everyone in your organization is not taken care of, you have failed as a business. Outside of sales, profits, and everything else, take care of the people who actually are making your money. And so we do a lot of training and talking about and working around there. From the production side, I think I'm at 4 podcasts with the Chamber right now. And so we're recording this right now. This is going to be a part of the Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast. But then also, so Park Multimedia sponsors the Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast, and in exchange for that, the Chamber, well, Wilkes-Barre Connect sponsors a podcast that my company does called Representing Equity, where we go around and we interview minority-owned business owners within NEPA. Not that I have anything against non-minority-owned business owners, but if you listen to most podcasts, you can find all those business owners there already. And so the idea was, who else is in NEPA who are running businesses? But again, understanding that minority is the veteran-owned businesses. And so looking at what Wilkes-Barre Connect does and that slate of Wilkes-Barre Inclusive, how can we be doing interviews and highlighting businesses that fall into that? So elderly-owned business, you know, elderly business owners, veteran-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-led businesses. The whole purpose of the podcast is, A, tell the story of that business, but then let's have a frank and honest discussion about some of the barriers that you have as minority-owned business owners working in NEPA, not to highlight that there are issues, but to talk about also how you came over those things and sort of leave that breadcrumb trail for upcoming up-and-coming business owners that this person figured out X, Y, Z through this process. Maybe that will help you and make your next journey a little easier as well. And then also the Think Centers Tech, I work with them on helping them with that as well. And so a lot of different tech ways that my company coordinates as well. But that goes back to that making relationships. I quit teaching, no offense, Jim, I'm in Concordia full time in 2008 to go, and I was young enough and dumb enough to give working Park Multimedia full time as a chance. In 2018, I decided to go ahead and do that. And I was co-working out of this exact same space. And so when it comes to those connections and building those things, I sat down here 5 days a week, working out of the space, meeting other business owners. Joe, at one point, he used to have Shawnee's job, was like, hey, if we started a podcast, would you be willing to help? That was how podcasting at Park Multimedia got started. I have a background in radio. That's what my undergrad is in. I've been done audio my entire life and never thought about it till someone in this room was like, hey, if we put a podcast together, could you help with that? I have 10 podcasts that I'm producing right now. And so it is about the connections and all those little things, but filling a need within our community. So.
A lot of those topics, sorry to jump in, but it is possible. A lot of those topics go beyond just the target assistance for those minority owned businesses, right? So your question that was about like networking, where are the spaces that make you feel super comfortable to start that journey to network? that's where a lot of our chamber houses come. So like that DEI council, that dance on the chair up, it's all people that are interested in sort of moving those businesses in the right direction. We have another professionals network. It's all individuals, I think, aged like 18 to 40 in our region. There's business.
39. There. You kicked me out.
But they're all individuals that are up and coming in this region. They could be students, they could be businesses, or creative is, you know, really huge in our young professionals that we're getting a council. But it's then giving a young professional and a student population a voice to be able to start that networking experience. And if we do that with the Women's Network, the DEI Council, our young professionals, we have a government affairs networking council. So that's a good opportunity for you to get your voice represented on an advocacy scale. So opportunities like that start by being involved in discreet ways to actually start offering your input and getting yourself used to those ideas. So that's why we always encourage everybody that's here stay engaged with the council following the network, because when all of the worlds collide, we have groups in here that are represented by each of our programs in the past. And now you're here in the way that you're learning consistent stuff all throughout time. So this is the best outcome that you could ask for out of a situation like that. But yes, absolutely join our networks council and stay involved with us. I'll get off my soapbox. Dan, I feel like that's probably time for you guys to maybe wrap up and maybe do a recap.
You want to go first?
Yeah, just real quick. Yep. Just on our topic real quick. I do have some resources for you guys to take away. Just a little bit more information about our center, the Wilkes SBDC, contact information, my business card, and how to become a client. So if you're ever interested, please feel free to register yourself as a client, check out our website, give me an email, call me, whatever. So I made it quick and easy with a QR code. And remember, all of our services are free and confidential.
Someone else says, free, that's one of the
main
things.
That's the name, yes, exactly. I have to lead with that because everyone likes it.
And I will admit, I have been in the SBDC, but where I was with Park Multimedia at that point, because a lot of the work is for helping with startups and getting you off the ground, I had done so much legwork, it just didn't work out. But I still went once I realized that the resource was there and people were like, hey, I think I actually got a marketing list. But it was free. And that was one of those things that as a business owner, I didn't realize, oh, there are free resources. And to Shawnee's point, like, you can be a part of this chamber and not technically need to be a paying member. You can show up at events, you can network, you can get involved, you can join the councils for free and actually help make a difference. And so that's one of the big things. But sort of even thinking about today overall and sitting in on all the roundtables, I think the big thing is that there are a lot of people who want to get involved and a lot of groups who need people to get involved, and we just need to have that conversation in the middle. And I think that days like today are great for that. But also it doesn't have to be at a conference like this. You've got the program. I guarantee every one of those organizations, if you've got an idea or you want to volunteer or you're looking to help out, if you reach out, they will find a way to figure something out. You may not get paid today. Money is tight for everyone. But if the idea is moving the region forward or helping to move an idea or a cause forward, there's a place for you. Young, old, black, white, Latino, whatever it is. The one thing I will say about this region, and I do a lot of DEI, there's a lot of problems, but the one thing I will say is that if you're willing to sort of roll up your sleeves and stand next to someone, get over whatever silly differences are there and do the work, there's a lot of work that needs to be done and a lot of work that can be done by the people that are in this room, that are in this region, but it is collaboratively coming together. And if you get a chance, I hope you do go back and listen to the podcast, you will hear that people want to do good and they want to help and that there are opportunities that are there, but it's introducing yourself, it's asking the question, it's starting the conversation, it's shaking that hand, those little things, it's coming to things like this and rubbing elbows. And again, it may not happen today, but there are avenues where help is needed. Our region, and there are a lot of things where people go, oh, well, you don't have this, or we don't have this, or da 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 da. Well, that's great. Sit down with someone and propose how we get that. And if you do that and you work with individuals, you'd be amazed at how many things you can start and create in your own community that started in your head, but the resources are there. That's sort of the point of today, is that the resources are there, the people are there, the SBDC is there if you want to be an entrepreneur. You know, if you want to work with children, there was the panel earlier with JA and building blocks, like There are opportunities for you to contribute right now, today, in this community, and it will only grow and better the community. And hopefully that's what you've gotten out of some of the roundtables and the feedback and discussion today. So I'll get off my soapbox now.
Anybody else want to share something that they learned today? Anything from the roundtables, anything from some of the sessions? What did you take away from today that you feel like you want to implement in the future, whether that's you're a student, you want to start a business, or you're an aspiring business owner? Tell us about what you learned today. I will call on somebody.
Okay. I guess one thing that I would say that I learned was just the importance of networking. I'm actually a GA at SBDC. I work with Jackie. We see a lot of clients or a lot of businesses come in and like they're very focused on like the logistics of the business and all this stuff, but an overlooked part of that is networking and kind of getting their their business out there. So I think that was something pretty eye-opening.
For me, a couple ideas, and I'm afraid to bring it up. Right? So I've learned through Shawnee that I signed up last month for the World Small Business Development Center, which was very helpful for me. And also the PSU Launchbox. So I did both last month. And my fear is, do I have something here? Or how do I go about it? But once it was presented to me, I've learned that it's okay to fail, to ask professionals in front of you that will help you get to where you're going. So with your program and Launchbox, it's opened up worlds for me in the last 30 days. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And to just kind of jump on that, we are here as a business resource. So like, even if you just have like a random question, right? Like I don't have to hear from you for 6 months. You might be doing your business plan, doing everything, right? And then you have just a random question, give us a call. And if I tell all my clients, if I don't have the answer for you, I will find a resource within our region or within our partner region that has that's available for that.
You've already armed me with information and I'm nowhere near one of the business.
But that's great. That's awesome. Good. I'm glad.
I think the one thing that I learned, especially today, is to not be afraid to reach out. I mean, it's definitely probably already well down, open your eyes and reach out network, but especially talking to, from my school, we had 10 students come, and most of the students, 8 out of the 10 students I talked to, all made a comment, like these people, they're so far ahead of us, it's scary to reach out. Some people are what do we ask them? What did we say? And the one thing that I really learned today was that everyone here wants to help. We all want to help each other here. And I think it's just important to not be afraid to reach out to people, because as much as they may have more money than you or more experience or more possibly talent, there's a time scale and I'm behind them in the race, but one day I'll be stepping in the same shoes that everyone else here is. It's important to reach out, otherwise I might not reach those same
prospects.
Definitely. Love that.
Anybody else?
Just quick, behind you, the mic. We've all been there.
Yeah, I was just, I was joking. Everyone started where you started, okay? So do not be afraid. Everyone has gone through I need help or initial I need help, okay? And where do I go from here? So don't be discouraged. You can give our SBDC center a call and be like, I need help, and that's it. And we will kind of guide you through the steps. Please.
And I was just at a conference in Pittsburgh this past week, and one of the things that we were talking about, the American Advertising Federation, you should really join. But one of the things we were talking about is how, with a lot of youth, there's the fear of failure and fear of being vulnerable. And it's almost funny because one generation above, I Googled everything. I don't know anything. Like these microphones today, when Shawnee told me this morning that I had to, we had to come down here to do this, I was trying to figure out how to switch these over to be able to record so I could use the audio today. Majority of us don't know what we're doing, man. Google is amazing.
Yes.
And then the network that you have. And so don't be afraid of like not knowing or failing. The majority of us didn't know what we were doing to get where we are now. And we've just doubled down on being really good at reaching out and leaning on other people.
Yep.
I will add to that. I'm 25 years old. And the 3 years that I've been working here, sometimes still feels like I'm in college because I started working here in 2020. So I have to learn
same.
So don't ever be under the impression that even professionals that are working with you have it all figured out.
Yeah.
We're all still learning, still growing, still using each other's resources. And really just trying to say that the right resources that you need to help you with them.
Definitely.
Yep.
Who else?
And that does it for this episode of the Wilkes-Barre Connect podcast, brought to you by Park Multimedia. Wilkes-Barre Connect is powered by the Greater Wyoming Valley Chamber of Commerce. To learn more about Wilkes-Barre Connect, check out wyomingvalleychamber.org. That's wyomingvalleychamber.org.